all that's going on in the world, God is in control. But in a specific sense, the kingdom of God can be understood as his rule or reign over all those who willingly submit to his loving authority as they acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord of all lords and King of all kings. In other words, the kingdom of God is not a realm, but a rule or a reign of a king. A helpful way of understanding the term kingdom of God is to think of it as the rule or reign of God. It is, therefore, a spiritual kingdom. It's interesting to note that in Matthew's gospel, he uses the term kingdom of heaven rather than kingdom of God. One explanation for this is that Matthew's gospel was primarily written for a Jewish audience. And they would have been familiar with the Ten Commandments, one of which says, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And it was this fear of misusing God's name that made them reluctant to even utter it. Hence, kingdom of heaven rather than kingdom of God. It is also a present kingdom. In one sense, the kingdom of God arrived with the coming of Jesus. He says this, if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. Or in response to the Pharisees, that was the religious leaders of the day, in response to them who were asking when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replies, the kingdom of God is already among you. And also, Jesus says, until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guides. But now, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone is eager to get in or is urged to enter in. In other words, Jesus is saying, Old Testament revelation has concluded, New Testament revelation has begun, and John the Baptist is the bridge between the two, preparing the way for the coming of the kingdom of God. But the Bible indicates it is a future kingdom too. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come. In other words, reign in my life and in the life of the church, and bring on the day when you will reign completely as you establish the new heavens and the new earth. Your kingdom come. Future thing. And when Jesus institutes the Last Supper, he anticipates the future kingdom when he says, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when Jesus says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me, on that day. So when he says this, it looks like he's referring to a future event with him saying, on that day. So it seems that an appropriate understanding of the kingdom of God encompasses both present and future dimensions. Another way of saying this is the kingdom of God is now, but not yet. It is now in that with the coming of Christ into the world, his followers are to live under his rule, allowing him to reign in all areas of their lives. But the kingdom of God is not yet in that it has still to be revealed and experienced in all its fullness. It's like a baby in the womb. That baby is both now and not yet, in that it's alive now, but not yet born. And this tension between the now and the not yet is seen in many aspects of Christian experience. Edinburgh-born Colin Smith, now a pastor in Chicago, expresses it this way. We live in this tension of knowing God and yet struggling with many mysteries, of growing in holiness and yet battling with sin, of praying for healing and yet living with suffering, of rejoicing in the growth of the church and yet weeping over its shortcomings, of being thankful for God's grace in the world and yet longing for the day when Christ shall come and sin will be no more. In the same way, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, we have the tension of the now and not yet too.